get behind closed doors, man, she hit the floor. And what you can't see is she on her knees. And if you ask her, she'll tell you.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I just want to launch with this verse, and we'll back up a few verses, but I want to launch with the 13th verse, John chapter 15, verse 13. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, then I want you to begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a moment, I want to speak from the subject. True love is costly. True love is costly. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life, not for his wife or Not for his family, but for his friends. Friends. That's a powerful statement that Jesus has made, and Jesus himself, being the author of that statement, also knows the responsibility that goes with that statement. One of the things that I think is important for us to understand is that Jesus shares with us what God has shared with him. And so one of the reasons why we can do things in the supernatural realm that we can't do in the natural realm is because of the power that comes with God doing something on the inside of us that we don't have in and of ourselves the ability to do for ourselves. Let me explain. If you back up to the ninth verse, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. He says, continue in my love. All right. So he begins by helping them to understand that he's loved us with that perfect, pure love that comes from his Father. As the Father has loved him with a precious, perfect, and pure love, he also has loved us with a precious, perfect, and pure love. And if he has loved us with a precious, perfect, and pure love, he then commands us to continue doing that with one another. In other words, the love that he's asking us to love with is the love that we were shown, that we were given, that we were supplied. He's not asking us to love with our love. He's asking us to love with his love. And how many of you know that it's a difficult thing to try and love man sometime with man's love? I mean it's an easy thing. You know, it's natural to love somebody back that loves you. But you agree with that? Yeah, when people show you love and kindness, etc., it's easy to love those who love you. Listen, it's natural. It's natural. But it's supernatural when you love folk that hate your guts. People who hate you without a cause. People who have no reason, you've done nothing to, that have turned on you, I mean, at the flicker of a moment. People who have, you know, come against you when all you've ever done was try to bless them, try to love them, try to keep them, try to show them the love of God. It's supernatural to be able to love somebody like that. And so in order to do that, we need the supernatural love of Jesus Christ to love men in this world. You will never be able to do it on your own. You don't have that much love in you, Shaq. I'm going to be real with you. You know, you can get up off your knees praying, filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you've been spending time with God, and man, somebody can read you wrong and get up in your face, and that love that you have for Jesus, if you don't love them with God's love, your love will say, listen, ain't no love here, baby, no love here. Now, say it one more time. I'm going to show you something. So he says, continue in my love. Then in the 10th verse, he says, if you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus is making clear again, the only way that Jesus in this earth realm with evil and ungodly and unrighteous men were able to see the love of God through Jesus is because Jesus lived and operated in supernatural agape love, God's love. He used the love of God to love men with that God loved men with. And he says, if you keep my commandments. Well, one of the commandments he commanded us was to love one another as I have loved you. And he's going to share that with you again. This is not the first time he's reiterated this principle many times. But he's making it clear that the focal point here is to love folk with the love of God. Can't do it no other way. I know all of us in the house are saved. I know we're all going to heaven, but I'm gonna be real with you. It's hard to love some of you at some time. Just like you might say, Lord, it's hard to love you, Pastor, sometimes, because you can get on my last nerve. Yeah, you, me too. So we got to love with the love of God, because our love is too fickle. Our love is not strong enough. You look at me wrong, and my love starts dwindling now. But yet, we're all going to heaven anyhow. Something's wrong with that picture. Listen to what he says, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. My joy, Jesus's joy. One of the things that Jesus was joyous about was doing the will of his Father. I do always those things which please my Father. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy that Jesus has is lining up with the will of God and living it in the earth realm. The joy he has comes from knowing that what he is doing, God is pleased. And if God is pleased, whatever he's going to do in the earth realm is going to come as a result of us obeying him in his word, his will, and in his way. And that joy that Jesus had in coming down and redeeming man, saving man, bringing man back into a right relationship with the Father was what was necessary for him to do when he came, because no one else could do it but him. Angels couldn't do it. Prophets couldn't do it. Other men and women of God couldn't do it. That was none but the righteous Son and the righteous blood of the Son of God, who would be able to pay the penalty for all man's sin, could come down and love us with the godly love. And he says, he spoke to us these things, that his joy might remain in us and that our joy might be full. How does our joy become full? I'm glad you asked. Our joy becomes full when we exercise the word, will, and way of God in our lives as Jesus did in his life with the Father. See, everything is Jesus as an example, and then giving us the instructions to exercise likewise in the earth realm. He showed us, and then he gave us power to do it. He showed us, and then he gave us power to do it. And so it's no different from what he has done, except we are doing it as saved and redeemed people of God, one to another. He came to set an example because he would not be down here eternally. As a matter of fact, he was getting ready, as he shared these principles, to go back to glory. But he wanted to make sure that we received the information, the inspiration, and the instructions on how to love one another. Verse 12, this is my what? This is not a suggestion. This is not an ideal. This is my commandment. Who is the commandment to? It's to us. This is my commandment, that you love who? One another. How? You passed over it too fast. Love one another. What's the next word? To love one another even, if you want to. He's just trying to say, I don't want you to discount my love when you're loving others. When I've given you a rich and powerful love, you come give them some mediocre love. I want you to love them the same way I loved you. Well, how is that, Lord? Looking beyond your faults? Still meeting your need? That's a problem right there, God. Because some of us, we will love folk as long as we agree with them. We'll love folk as long as they line up with what we want them to do. Or our perspective of what they ought to do or ought to be. We'll love them as long as they fit in our picture-perfect world. No. Jesus says, love them as I have loved you. Have you been right always? Well, that means you can't stop loving folk because they ain't right always. Have you been good always? Well, that means you can't stop loving folk because they ain't good always. Have you missed it sometime? Well, that means you can't stop loving folk when they miss it sometime. Have you been misjudged sometime? Oh, my, come on. Y'all ain't talking to me like you know it. See, when Jesus put that little word as in there, he messed up a whole lot of us. Because it means that you can't treat me any less than Christ treated you. If you love him because he first loved you, then that means you can't wait until I get to the point and place where I love you like you want to be loved. You got to love me first, and then I'll love you back like he loved you. And love, the kind of love that he's talking about is so powerful. Because every one of us, you say what you want to say, but every one of us needs love. True love, the strongest man, the hardest man, you'll melt him like butter on a stove when you show him true, genuine love. I just don't understand some saints. They love the Lord, but they don't love their neighbors. The Epistle of John said, how can you love God whom you have not seen, but you hate your brother whom you see every day? How you gonna lift up holy hands? How you gonna pray up in here and you don't even love the person sitting next to you? You think God's receiving that? Listen, there is no holiness without love. There is no righteousness without love. There is no true joy without love. And yet some of us think, just like Paul said in Romans 10, we've gone about to establish our own righteousness and have not, you know, considered, nor have we yielded ourselves to the righteousness of God. Can I tell you, there is no other righteousness but God's righteousness. If you don't submit to God's righteousness, your righteousness is not going to cut it. Isaiah said, our righteousness in his sight is as filthy rags. So you can play all that if you want to with somebody who don't know the word. But if you can't love those who hate you, let's not love those who are not perfect. You ain't got no love in you. And God says you're a liar. So you take that somewhere else. Because God wants us to know the only way men will know that we are his disciples is if we have love one to another. That's the only way. not procedures, not practices, you know, not gatherings and not cliques and not, no, the only way they're going to really know you're real is if you have love one to another. And so he moves on and says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's make no mistake about it, my brothers and sisters. Jesus was simply using himself as an example, and that example was this, that I love you so much. I love you so much that I came down to lay down my life so that you can be raised up. I came down, laid down my life so that you could have a right relationship with the Father. I came down, laid down my life so that there would be a relationship like none other with the Creator of all mankind on your behalf because of me, which could not have happened without me. 14 says, ye are my friends. If what happens? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. See, so you need to know that if you really want to be the example that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to be, it means you've got to love. Not with your love, but with his love. A missionary had gone to a third world country. And there, when she got there, she saw death all around. People dying of malnutrition, starvation, disease. And that was a young woman lying on the ground with a little thin sheet with her baby in her arms. The woman was so weak, so malnutritioned, that all she could do was hold her crying baby in her arms to try and comfort her. And as she lay there holding that baby in her arms, trying to comfort that crying baby, a missionary came by, just received a portion of their supper, which happened to be a nice warm baked sweet potato. And she put it in that woman's hand. And the woman was too weak to raise up and tell her thank you. But in her eyes, everything she had told that missionary, thank you. And as that baby continued to cry, that mother would peel off some of that potato with her teeth and chew a little bit of that potato, almost to the point of pureeing it. And then she would open up the baby's mouth and put it in the baby's mouth. And she'd bite a little more of the skin off the potato and chew it and puree it. And then she'd put it in the baby's mouth. And she did that until that whole potato was gone, eating none of it for herself. She gave it all to her baby. And the joy she had was hearing that little baby stop crying and lightly snoring. For the first time in days, that baby had slept. And somewhere in the middle of the night, that woman's heart stopped beating. Missionary went there the next morning, and there lay the baby. There lay the baby in her arms, full of life, full of vigor, full of excitement, next to her dead mother. And the missionary said, "This reminds me so much of the reason I've come here. Because my Savior, my Lord, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for me so that I might have life and that more abundantly, and that I might reach others like me and tell them that what he's done for me, his love was so sure, so strong, so powerful that he wanted me to tell others what he's done for me, he'll do for you." And so, my brothers and sisters, true love is costly. It means you have to sacrifice. It means you have to give up stuff. It means you have to do without. It means you have to go when you don't want to go. Love when you don't want to love. Give when you don't want to give. Do when you don't want to do. Be when you don't want to be. Love costs something. And we can't say we love the Lord if we're not willing to make sacrifices. I love you because he loved me. Not because I'm perfect, not because you're perfect, but because he loved me and told me to love you. And when I look at you, I don't know all about you. I don't know all that you've done or have not done. But I do know me, and I know if he could look beyond my faults and love me, then I have no right to look at someone else and not love them. My old pastor used to say, it doesn't matter what folks say about you, that will keep you out of heaven. But it's what you say about them that will keep you out of heaven. And so, my brothers and sisters, you remember, true love is costly. And when you remember the love of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, he wasn't picky. He wasn't prejudiced. He said, whosoever will accept his son shall have life everlasting. So that says to me as I close, I don't have a right to pick and choose who I love. If he didn't pick and choose who he loved to give this salvation, and I was included in the number, neither do you have a right to pick and choose who you love.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast,